Welcome, everybody. We are so glad that you're joining us. I want to welcome those of you who are joining us from Crossroads Church in Fremont, those of you from Western Hills Church, and all of you who are part of the Echo family. We're so glad that you're with us. It is so great to be together, and we're grateful for the power of technology to be connected in homes across the Bay Area. And we're celebrating this last week that there were over 10,000 people who joined us across the country and all over the world to be a part of what God is doing through our church. We all know that this has been one of the craziest times in modern history. Our lives have shifted, so much has changed, and there is such a range of responses. If you've been to the grocery store this week or you have interacted with coworkers on Zoom, you've noticed that there are some people who are in complete panic mode, and there are other people who've responded to this crisis with faith, who have a sense of peace about them. And what we're looking at throughout the course of this series, it's called Unlikable Christian. We're talking about how do we make the shift in the midst of this crazy season in our country and in our world? How do we become the kind of people who shine light? How do we be the kind of people that give hope and life to those around us? And we're looking at four key decisions that we can make on a personal basis to be light to those around us. So last week we talked about being generous. And I love seeing stories of people from Echo this last week who were generous. I noticed people who went out into the community under essential activity to deliver groceries and pizza to those in need. Many of you who are giving generously to make a difference with your resources. And even just the flip of the mindset when you go places to be life, to be light. We've seen that this week. This week we're going to talk about how do you stay calm. Because we know that when people get anxious and fearful, it's really hard to make a difference when we're not calm. Next week, we're going to talk about how do you work hard. And even many people are stepping back. There's an extra measure of laziness out of that fear and watching lots of TV and Netflix and news. We're going to talk about how next week, how there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And for those of us who follow Jesus, this is not the time to shrink back. This is the time to press forward. And then in the fourth and final week, we're going to talk about our words and how do we speak life into the places that we go. How do we use our words to encourage other people when times are dark and it's difficult? And today's message, we're going to talk specifically about being calm, about finding peace, about being anchored in the midst of this storm. So the message today is titled, Staying Calm in the Storm. Staying Calm in the Storm. A few years ago, Stacy and I had gone to Maui on a vacation, just the two of us, and on the way back, we had to fly through Honolulu. And we got on our plane in Honolulu, and we started traveling back here to San Jose, and about an hour over the Pacific Ocean, I felt the plane start to take a turn to the left, and I felt the immediate anxiety in my heart, like, this is not good. You do not want to be changing directions. When you go from Hawaii to California, there's just one straight line that you need to be on. So I leaned over to Stacy and I said, babe, the plane is turning. And she said, no, it's fine. And I'm like, no, I am certain that the plane has shifted directions. And about 2 minutes later, the pilot comes over the intercom and says, excuse me, we are going back to Honolulu. We are having mechanical issues, which at that point, like, don't even tell me. Just go back to Honolulu. Let us know when we land the plane that the plane is malfunctioning. So we get back to Honolulu. They get everybody off the airplane, and they ensure us that they'll fix it quickly. 1 hour turns into 2 hours, turns into 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours. Finally, they say, we got the mechanical issue fixed. Let's get back on the plane. And you're seeing all different types of people. You're seeing some people just, you know, stuffing themselves with popcorn and candy. You're seeing other people rushing up to the flight attendants, cussing at them, freaking out. People are getting on the plane saying, I'm not going to get on the plane. I'm not going to get on the plane. And finally, once we're on the plane, you could feel the pandemonium in the air. You could just feel that anxiety in people's facial expressions. And the pilot comes out of the cockpit and says, ladies and gentlemen, she says, please be calm. Be calm. I am a mother of four children. I want to get home to see my kids. The mechanical issue is a light that has been flickering on the tail of the plane. We got it fixed. I would not get on this plane if I didn't feel safe myself. So we all boarded on. Everybody feels a little bit more safe at this point. And we get up over the Pacific And about 30 minutes into the flight, the plane takes another turn back to Honolulu. As you can imagine, like, there's even more anxiety. So we get off, and the flight attendants seem like they don't even know what to do. And so, like, everybody's responding differently. I shift into hyper control mode. I walk up to a flight attendant and give her some instructions on customer service and how she could calm the situation down. And there's just a range of responses. And finally, like 6 a.m. in the morning, after dealing with this for 12 hours, they come back over and they say, we actually are not going to be able to fly out tonight. We're going to have to wait till tomorrow. We're going to have to call in a new flight crew because it's been too long. And finally, they get the new flight crew there. And by 8 a.m., we're out. We're on our way. And I'd like to tell you, we made it safely back to San Jose. What an amazing moment of just pure panic, seeing people's responses. And I wonder how you're responding in the midst of this storm. There's such a range of response. And early in Jesus' ministry, one time he got stuck in a storm with several of his followers. And I want to look at how they responded to this storm and how Jesus responded. I want us to see the difference in Jesus' response to the storm and his disciples' response to the storm in Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 35. It says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake, which they would do often. Now, Jesus is in a boat with his disciples, and these disciples, many of them were fishermen, which means that they've spent long hours on the sea. They've been there many times before. They know how to anchor a boat. They know how to get a sail up. They know how to tie the nets. They are experts in storms and experts in managing these seas. But this evening, it says, they go across the boat. They took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind. Now, it's important to recognize that Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. So that makes the story different. If Jesus is in your boat, it changes things. They get in the boat and they start heading across the Sea of Galilee. And it says, although there were many other boats, so there are multiple other boats as they're journeying across. But soon, it says, a fierce storm came up. High waves began to break into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Now, I was on the sea a couple years ago, and I talked to somebody who was leading our tour, and he said that sometimes these storms will come up so fast that you cannot be prepared for them, that clouds will come up, and the Sea of Galilee is surrounded by mountains. And what will happen is oftentimes the winds will come from multiple directions because the lake is surrounded, or the sea is surrounded by mountains, and you'll get these choppy waves that will come in, and they're short. They're like 6 to 8 feet apart, but then they could be as tall as 6 to 8 feet. So the boat, what happens if it's, you know, 15 feet, can be like knocked back and forth, up and down like this rapidly. And what you see really quickly when you're in a storm, what you see very quickly when you're stuck on an airplane over the Pacific, what you see when you're in the midst of a global crisis is you begin to see your source of confidence. And that's the first point. I want you to write this down, that storms reveal your source of confidence. And this week, I wonder if your confidence has been shaken. There are a lot of different places that we turn for confidence. Sometimes we turn to our bank account. Other times we turn to our profession, maybe even our skills. But in those moments when everything around us is stripped, all of our normal places that we go for confidence are taken away from us, you begin to see who is your master, who do you look to for confidence. I remember one time a couple of years ago, Stacy and I were hiking up in Tahoe, and we had gone out one afternoon up the face of a mountain. It was about a 4-mile hike up the face of a mountain. And when we went out, it was this clear blue sky. And about 2 miles into the hike, you saw this storm cloud begin to emerge on the south part of Lake Tahoe. We looked at it and we said, oh, we're fine. It's just a little cloud. And that little cloud turned into a medium-sized cloud and a massive cloud. Within about 15 minutes, we were caught in an electrical storm. And we're like, you know, 2/3 of the way up the mountain. And there's nowhere to hide. There are no trees. Every place that we turned, all the build the gondolas and the ski lifts were out there. They're all metal, so you can't go there. And I felt more anxiety, more panic in that moment than I felt in my entire adult life. I literally thought I was going to lose my life. And I was like, felt like a little baby panicking. I was like screaming, worried. I'm like, I don't want my wife to die. I'm like, this is going to be the man who didn't protect his wife. And I'm trying to think, how can I like get over her and be the one get struck by lightning? And so we made a decision that we would run down the mountain, and we just started praying, Jesus, please send somebody. Please help us out. And about halfway down, before all the lightning got to us, this pickup truck drives up right next to us, and God provided a way back down the mountain for us. And in that moment, my confidence was stripped. In that moment, I began to think, as my life played out in front of me, all the different things that I looked to for confidence were gone. And maybe this week your confidence is being shifted, but I have been blown away at the people of Echo Church, how you have stood in confidence this week. On Monday, our leadership team was in a room when we got the news that all of the Bay Area counties had been declared in lockdown. And in about a 6-hour period of time, we reorged the entire church. In fact, we said, we know our mission is not changing, but the way we do it has to change for the time being. And we moved the entire church online. And this week, I watched as hundreds of you, hundreds of groups gathered together to pray, to encourage one another. Here are some of the pictures of people who joined together in community, in prayer groups. My alpha group was online. There was one night that I was with a group of leaders praying for our church together. People were crying out to God together online. There were also leaders from our church that joined together to help other churches, to support and stand strong with them. And I am so encouraged right now by watching the passion of this local church and other Bay Area churches, to see Crossroads and Western Hills and other churches that are joining us. And our methods have shifted, but our mission has not. Our mission is the same as it was when we began. We began with an unshakable confidence that God has the power to change people's lives, that when people say yes to Jesus and they encounter him, everything shifts. So here's our mission. We're going to keep at this. We exist to urgently lead people to say yes to Jesus and passionately follow him. We still have confidence in the power of God's local church, that though now we're scattered, the church of God is going to rise up globally, and he's going to reveal his power. And we have a unique window of opportunity to extend God's love to the communities around us. And we're going to continue to see more of God's power at work through us together. And I believe that when we look back a year from now or 18 months from now, after we've gotten through this storm, that we're going to see the faithfulness of God, and we're going to say to one another that this was one of the greatest seasons of our church's history, that more lives were changed during this time than ever, that God performed great miracles in the midst of this time, and our confidence is not going to be shaken, because our confidence is not in our abilities. Our confidence is in the power and the grace of God to provide for us in the midst of storms. And I wonder for you today what this storm is revealing to you about your confidence. Where have you been looking? Have you been turning to the stock market? Have you been turning to the news? Have you been turning to your career? I pray that you would turn to God and he would give you a peace. He would give you a calm. As Proverbs 3:24 says, you can go to bed without fear and you will lie down and sleep soundly. I bless you with sound sleep, that you would have such a confidence in God that you could lay your head down on the pillow and you would need not be afraid of sudden disaster or destruction that comes upon the wicked. For the Lord is your security, and he will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. See, when you're in a storm, you see where your confidence is. You begin to feel anxiety, maybe because your confidence is in the wrong place. But Jesus, in the midst of the storm, his confidence was not shaken. In fact, let's see what Jesus was doing. In the storm, it says, Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. As his disciples are being tossed back and forth, experts in storms, experts in boat management are tossed around, Jesus is not rocked. He is not fazed. And the second thing we see in this story is that storms may surprise us, but they don't surprise God. Did you know that the storm we are facing right now is not a surprise to God. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are not up in heaven saying, did you see that they shut down schools in California? Did you know that the growth of the virus is exponential? God knew before this came that it would come. And God knows what will happen after the storm. And God's faithfulness is not fazed by your circumstances. Let me say that one more time. God's faithfulness is not fazed based on your circumstances. And even though this is one of the greatest surprises in modern history, there have been many moments in church history, there have been many moments of history throughout all of Scripture that have been far greater calamity than what we're facing right now. And God has been faithful to his people through storms. God has provided, he's given strength, he's given comfort, he's given confidence. And for those of us who put our trust in him, we can know that history is linear. There is a God who is sovereign over human history, and he holds it in his hands. So when the disciples were shaken, when Jesus was taken to a cross, and his body was placed there in a grave, Jesus was not fazed all the way to a cross because he knew on the other side of the cross was Sunday. There was a moment when he would conquer the grave, and even though it looked like it was all out of control, that he had lost control of the situation, God was in control the whole time. You can have confidence that God is in control, and you can trust him. You can trust him with your life, you can trust him with your health, and you can trust him with your eternity. And today, he is a source of life and strength to those who come to him in the storm. Now, the disciples, in the midst of this, they're shaken. They're freaking out. In fact, they wake him up and they say, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? And maybe you felt like that this week, that God doesn't care about you, that maybe he's forgotten about you, that maybe God has abandoned you. Maybe even this week you got news that you lost your job, or you got news that somebody you love or you care about is sick, or maybe even you're sick right now and you don't know. Is it the virus? Where did the sickness come from? I can assure you today that your Heavenly Father does care about you. In fact, storms are an incredible opportunity for you to turn to Jesus. I want to encourage you to turn to Jesus right now. Stop turning to the news for hope. Stop looking to your bank account and how much money you can store up or is stored up there. Stop looking to your employer for your hope. Today, you can turn to Jesus, and he is an anchor in the storm. He is a secure place to fix your eyes, to give your hope to. And I wonder, where have you been turning this last week for hope? Have your eyes been shifting all over the place, looking at the ballast of the boat? Imagine the anxiety that they felt in this moment as the boat was rocked up and down, up and down, up and down, looking at the storm, trying to figure out how long the storm will last. And if you fix your eyes on everything else that is happening around you, if you're trying to figure out how far the virus will go, if you're trying to figure out how long the storm will last, you're going to get seasick. You're going to be tossed back and forth. But if you turn to Jesus, if you fix your eyes on him, you will find confidence. You will find calm. You will find him at peace in the storm. The disciples come and they shake him. Don't you care? Don't you care about us? And Jesus, when he was woken up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, now listen to his voice, silence, be still. I wonder today if you would let that voice come into your soul as God speaks to you in the storm to say, silence, be still. And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. There was a peace that came over them. In the midst of the storm, Jesus spoke and there was peace. And today he wants to speak into your heart. And he looks at them in this moment and he asks them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And the voice that I hear in this moment, there are a lot of ways to interpret Jesus's voice. Maybe you can imagine he's frustrated. You can imagine he's chiding them. But the voice I see, or the face I see, is one of a father looking at a child to say, do you not know that I have you? I got you. There was never a moment in this whole thing where it was out of control. I was in control the whole time. And you had to go through the storm. You had to walk through difficulty. You had to enter into the trial to know that even in a storm, I am still Lord. I am still master in the midst of chaos. I still have it in control. The disciples at this moment were just completely terrified, and they asked themselves, who is this man? They asked each other, even the wind and the waves obey his voice. Even the wind and the waves listen to his command. The same voice that spoke the world into existence is the voice that spoke into the storm and brought peace. And it's the same voice that can speak into your situation right now. As the church is scattered across Silicon Valley, the Bay Area, and all over the world, the Spirit of God is present with you right now. And he is able, he is as a comforter, able to come alongside of you and strengthen you and speak peace in this storm. In fact, perhaps the greatest miracle is not what God would do outside in the storm, but what God would do inside in your heart. And today you can experience his peace. You can be calm in the storm. And I want to give you three essentials in the storm of what you can do this week to find peace, to find God's peace. Number one is to fix your focus. Your focus might be right now on your health. Your focus right now might be on your job. Your focus right now might be on the exponential curve of the virus. But I want to encourage you to fix your focus on God. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 says, God will, you will keep in perfect peace. It is possible in a storm to have perfect peace. But the only way that you get that perfect peace is by trusting in God. He will keep in perfect peace all who trust in him, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. I want to encourage you today to fix your thoughts on Jesus, to fix your thoughts on the sovereign God of the universe who has this whole thing in control. I have found for myself, I have to turn to him first. I have to go to the Bible and read and pray and let God change my thoughts. Because if I am thinking so much about the media and I'm looking at data and I'm reading the news and I'm trying to decipher what's true and what's fake news, that my mind is all over the place. In fact, I want to encourage you to pick a 24-hour period of time and call it your Sabbath and allow yourself for 24 hours during the midst of this storm, even as all this is happening around us, to anchor yourself in God's word. And secondly, in the midst of the storm, I want to encourage you to turn to Jesus, to make a habit of praying, to make a habit of reading your Bible. In fact, I would say to you, over the last 20 plus years of my journey spiritually, 25 years now, one of the most important disciplines for me has been a time of daily reading the Bible and daily praying. And during this season, I have felt myself more hungry for the presence of God, more hungry for the Word of God, maybe than any other season of my life, as I am crying out to him for strength and wisdom. And I have found his grace to be so present. I have found his truth to be so reliable. In fact, the truths that we hear, maybe even for some of you who've been following Jesus your whole life, these truths are no more true today than they were a month ago or a year ago. It's just that in the storm, you find the reality of these truths to be so present that when you turn, the scripture says that God's word and the principles of God's word and obedience to them is like a foundation that when the storms of life come at you, as they have that the last week, that when the storms come, you will find your foundation secure. Turn to Jesus, pray, get in your bedroom on your knees and cry out to God and ask him for help. I want to encourage you, our whole church, to set your clocks to 7:14 for your alarm to go off a.m. and p.m. And at 7:14, I want to encourage you to pray with me 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, when the scripture says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And let's beg of God to help us as a church seize this window of opportunity and for him to heal our land and transform people's hearts. I want to invite you to join me and join our staff on Wednesdays from Tuesday night at dinner to Wednesday night to fast for a 24-hour period of time throughout this crisis until it's over, to fast and pray and ask God to move, to beg of him to do what only God can do. This is not a time to rely on great leadership. This is not a time to rely on our wisdom or our strategy. This is a time for us, church, to rely upon the Holy Spirit. This is a time for us to press into God, to cry out to God more than ever before, to beg of God to move, to transform hearts. I believe that we're going to see a window in these next few months that God is going to move. We're going to look back on the end of this storm and we're going to say this is one of the greatest seasons of our church's history. We're going to see more people respond to faith in Jesus than any time in our church's history, than any time in Bay Area history. And it's going to happen as the people of God turn to Jesus. We're not going to turn to CNN for our truth. We're not going to turn to the feed and on our phone or the data that's coming at us. We're going to turn to Jesus and we're going to be the stabilizing force in the storm because we're anchored in him. That's the second essential in the storm, is to turn to him. And finally, is to let Jesus take care of the storm. Y'all, we have to let him be the Lord of the storm. We have to let him be in charge of it. And I have found for myself this temptation to fix the storm. Fix the storm organizationally. Fix the storm around me. And what I've learned and I'm learning throughout this is that God is the only one that can control the storm. I can't. I can only do my part. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, seek the kingdom of God above everything else. And I want to encourage you, this is a time to seek the kingdom of God. This is a time for us as a church to press into this unique window of opportunity where people's hearts are open to God. And as we do this and live righteously, he will give you everything you need. God has provided for his people through famine. God has provided for his people through plagues. God has provided for his people through persecution. God has provided for his people throughout human history. And he will provide again. His church will prevail again. And we will stand strong as we trust in him. Now, Jesus says this, don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Anybody else this week worried about tomorrow or next week or next month? Jesus specifically says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow, there's going to be some stuff to worry about tomorrow. Today's trouble is enough for today. And I want you to hear this, that if you try to take care of the storm, you're not going to be able to do your part. If you try to take care of the stuff around us and the circumstances that you can't control, you won't focus on what you can do. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. What can you do in the storm? How can you be diligent in the midst of the storm? But before we wrap up, I want to take just a moment to speak to those of you who are trying to do the storm without Jesus in your boat. You're trying to fix the problem and you've never entered into a relationship with God. God is drawing you to himself right now. And today can be the day that you begin relationship with Jesus. In fact, very simply, you can put your trust in him today. Jesus died on a cross for your sins and for my sins. And before God stepped into this world, before Jesus came and died on a cross, you and I were separated from God based upon our choices. But based on his mercy and his death on a cross, he made a way so that all of that can be wiped clean. And as Jesus was placed into a grave, 3 days later, he would come forth victoriously. His body would overcome death, proving his divinity, that he is God. And he made a way so that you can be reconnected to the heart of God, and he can be your source of hope, and you can stand with confidence that no matter what happens to you in this life, you have the hope in him that you will spend eternity with him. And eternity with God, relationship with him, begins in the moment that you put your trust in Jesus. Eternal life begins. You can have that right now. If that's you and you've never trusted in him for the forgiveness of your sins, you've never entered into relationship with God, I want to encourage you right now in this moment to pray this prayer to God and turn to him and receive his grace. Just say, Father, I want to ask that you would forgive me for my sins. Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for my sins. I receive your gift of eternal life. I turn to you right now in this moment. I give you all that I am. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we put our hands together and celebrate those who've made a decision to follow Jesus? In fact, if you made that decision right now, there's going to be a button that pops up in the chat feed, and you can go ahead and let us know that you made that decision today to follow Jesus, to surrender and yield your life to him. We have some people who would love to help you, to pray with you, to journey with you through this. And in just a moment, our host is going to come back on and lead you through some next steps. But before they do, I want to lead you in a moment of generosity. In fact, every single week here as a church, we give back to God, and we call this an act of worship. It's our trusting in God for all that he's done for us. We call this tithes and offerings as an act of worship. And I want to encourage you that right now as a church, based upon your generosity, based upon your faithfulness, in a time of great need, we're able to seize a window of opportunity. In fact, throughout this week, I've watched as I've gotten multiple different emails from nonprofits and organizations, and there's been a wide range of responses. And some of those emails that come through, they're fearful and even anxious, and if we don't get support, then we're going to have to shut this down and not be able to pay our staff. But what I'd like to say to you is, our church has lived below our means for a long period of time, so that in a moment like this, we're strong, we're solid. But this is not a time for us to shrink back in fear with our generosity. This is a time for us to press in and become more generous. This is a time for us to give in faith, to believe that God is going to move in power. And as you give sacrificially and the church is stronger, we're able to do more. We're able to impact more lives. We're able to make a difference in our community and in our world. In fact, this last week, we launched a new website called echocompassion.com, and you can go there at any point this week to see some of the things that we're doing to serve in the community to make a difference in the lives of people around us. And why this is important is because for us as a church, as we know your generosity, we're better able to make decisions about how we can serve in our community. And there are some of you who are a part of our church, and one decision I want to encourage you to do is to go ahead and make a decision to automate your generosity. For all of us, we'll see on the screen, there's a link, there's a place where you can click give on the chat online or above the chat online. You'll see that give button is there, and you can go ahead and make a decision to automate your generosity. I was blown away some of the stats even so far this year, that there were 64 new families who added that decision to automate their generosity. And last week alone, in response to the message, there were 15 new families that made a decision to automate their generosity. Now, if you're joining us from another church, you can go to your church's homepage and you can there make a decision to give back to your church from Crossroads and Western Hills. But that generosity strengthens the local church, and the stronger the local church is, the more we can make a difference in our community. And I want you to know that for Stacy and I, as we're at this place where we do have a job, we're making a decision through this storm to increase our generosity. In fact, as we're stuck at home, many of our expenses are less. We're not spending money on gas and other things. We're saying we're not going to shrink back. We're going to step up and help this church seize this window of opportunity, because there's not an organization that we believe in the mission of more than this church. We're going to sacrifice. And I want to boldly ask you to do the same. I want to ask you to give to your church, if you're a part of Echo, to tithe back to this church. And if you have a job, let's be the people who go all in. And there are going to be so many stories on the back end that we tell because we trusted in God together. In fact, so far this year, there have been 160 families who've given for the very first time to participate in generosity. And I want to encourage you, If you've never taken a step to give for the first time today, you can do that. You can give right now in this moment. As you give, God's going to use your generosity to help our church bless the community and make a difference. And so we're going to take a moment right now in the service, give you an opportunity. Click on that link, go to echo.churchgive or go to your church's site. And for just a moment, we're going to pause and we're going to worship and we're going to thank God and give back. And then at the end of this time, I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to click on that link. And then we're going to pray together. And then we'll transition back to our host as we wrap up our service. Let's give together right now by clicking on that button. Father, I thank you today for the incredible opportunity that we have to worship you with our tithes and our offerings. And I pray that you would richly provide so that we can be a source of life to the community around us. I pray now, even as we transition to our next steps and our response time, that you would help us follow through to trust in you as the source of confidence in this storm. I pray in Jesus' name.